The buzz of fluorescence increased in volume as Dorothy got farther from the elevator. One of the overhead light panels was refusing to go quietly from this world. The agonized industrial hum pushed into Dorothy's head until she felt it emanate outward from within, rather than inward from the room. The grating of a metal chair against the floor made her jump. It was freezing down here, like a storage facility, which it was. She buttoned a brown wool cardigan over her black cotton cardigan, already buttoned to the clavicle. She opened up her laptop, and when the gray rectangle in the upper right quadrant of the screen opened itself to prompt her, "Updates available, do you want to restart to install these updates now or try tonight?" she selected later, and then "Remind me tomorrow," as she had every day for months. No, it had definitely been years. She opened the Finder and clicked through the metaphorical folders until she located this week's prompt for her Writing Apocalypse course. Dorothy was an adjunct professor, a member of the part-time or contingent faculty, who taught 2 or 3 or sometimes 4 courses a semester in the English department and first-year writing program of a private university whose list price tuition was twice her annual earnings. In addition to Writing Apocalypse, this semester she was also teaching Writing Affect Theory and 2 sections of Introduction to the Major. She had taught all the classes before and devoted to them the minimum effort required so she could write the sample chapter that would get her the contract that would get her the job that didn't exist. It didn't matter how much time she cleared. She was not making progress. All her samples had to be thrown away. She hated producing so much waste. Her subject, female confinement and the Gothic novel, had become a source of nausea, as her own career had come to resemble the situation of one of the characters she wrote about. She was like a poor relation who had tagged along for a weekend at a formerly grand estate and wound up marked for death by the invisible hands lurking in the wallpaper. Last fall, there had been 6 job openings in her field. This fall, there had been none. The hiring climate had dried into a dust bowl. She couldn't go on like this, she knew, but she also couldn't not go on. She vaguely recalled a time when wanting to do the job she had trained for did not feel like too much to want. Now want itself was a thing of the past. She lived in the epilogue of wants. She clicked around her documents, inserted a page break, and copied and pasted the grading rubric from an old assignment. Dorothy always distributed a rubric. The text was boilerplate, slightly modified from another instructor's materials. "Your paper should do more than pose a question," it said. "It should offer at least tentative conclusions." She hated that she had to ask the students for something she was so bad at herself. But it was easier to defend her judgments when she could point to a set of standards, an authority outside her own fancies and impressions. More than once, Dorothy had ended a meeting with an unhappy student by pointing back at the rubric and shrugging helplessly before its power. She liked to imagine God musing over his spreadsheet at the end of the semester. "Locusts, C. Fire and floods, B+. Interruptions to the food supply was failing, but might do better next semester. Plagues and viruses got points for participation. How death of the firstborns would do depended not only on the despair experienced by those who lost their own child, but on how much panic could be stirred up in the houses of those who were skipped over. If it were up to Dorothy, all courses would be pass-fail. She did a quick Google Images search for tsunami. Students responded better to handouts when they included pictures, and dragged to her desktop and then the Word document, a computer rendering of the Statue of Liberty, half-toppled in the icy New York Harbor. And now, on to the reading. It was Revelation Week for the students of the Apocalypse. Dorothy took from her backpack a hardcover parallel King James New International Version Bible and flipped to the end. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth," the prophet wrote, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The sea, like death itself, would be overcome. If creation had involved dividing the land from the sea, there was a certain sense in the last chapter doing away with the sea altogether. The sea, after all, was where life began. Without the sea, there would be no possibility of beginning again.